Hello, welcome to your meditation practice as part of the Open Heart Project. My name is Susan Piver. I am very, very happy to sit with you in meditation. We're going to sit together for 10 minutes and we're going to start soon. So please take your seat and get settled, whether you're on a cushion on the floor or a chair or a sofa. But wherever you sit and however you sit, please try to find a way to feel uplifted and not slumpy. And as you get settled, I want to continue and indeed conclude a conversation that I started with you all a few weeks ago on the three steps that you can take to keep your practice firmly rooted in the realm of the spiritual, the mysterious, the profound. And today I'm going to talk about the third step. But if you didn't get a chance to listen to the first two, don't worry. You can jump right in here or you can go back and listen to them whenever you want. But I think it's very important to keep this issue front and center. This is a spiritual practice, as opposed to what, you may wonder. So our culture keeps trying to invite us to view meditation practice, which is literally thousands of years old, as some sort of a modern technology that can be used to solve problems. Okay, cool. It can be used to solve problems. But the two invitations, of these two invitations, which I'm going to elucidate in a moment, P.S., all of this is my opinion, so take it with a giant grain of salt. One of them is fairly benign. The other one makes me mad. It's very, very upsetting to me. So anyway, the first invitation about meditation practice, and it's coming at us from everywhere, is it'll fix things. So you should use it as a self-improvement technique. It will help you in so many thousands of ways. There are endless scientific research projects, I don't know what to call them, that have proven it'll help. It'll help you get a better night's sleep. These are really important things, by the way. I'm not making light of them. It will help you reduce stress. It will help you manage pain. It will help you feel happier. Science has proven it. So in no way am I trying to suggest that those are bad things. Obviously, they're really good. But when we enlist our practice in the name of finding the broken parts and then hoping that meditation will fix them, we're actually leaving a lot of money on the table. We're leaving a lot on the table. So when this practice was first introduced, at least as far as I understand it, in the Buddhist realm, I don't know about other realms, it wasn't presented as a way to get better at anything. It was presented as a way to wake up and avoid the suffering, not of being human, because that suffering is not optional, but of being asleep through this life and making mistakes and hitting walls and pretending that things can be other than impermanent. That is a lot of suffering. And this practice was offered as a way to not suffer in this most profound sense. So it's important not to forget that. And again, if nobody comes to meditation because like, well, life's perfect, I think I'll start meditating. We want to be more patient. We want to be better at our jobs. We want to manage pain, you know, totally reasonable things to want. Great. But when we practice, as we sit, it's very important to let go of those things and see what else might be happening while hopefully our chronic pain is being managed better or we're being more patient with people in our lives. Something else is going to go on too. So self-help, which this is not, but when meditation is offered within the context of self-help, which that's 90% of how it's offered, it's with the idea, as with all forms of self-help, and I have written self-help books, so I'm not like trying to diss self-help, But they all start with the idea that there's something wrong with you that needs fixing. Otherwise, you wouldn't need to read this book or do this technique. So you got a problem, try this, and maybe it'll fix it. However, spiritual practice starts from the other end of the spectrum. Spiritual practice starts with the idea, as I understand it, that you are brilliant, that you are whole, that your heart is unbreakable, and any notions to the contrary are signs of confusion, and our practice can help dissolve such confusion. So it's not self-help from that perspective. Okay, that's invitation number one. Invitation number two, the one that makes me mad, is, I'm just particularly mad about it today because I was reading about a new meditation app, which shall remain nameless, but it purports to use AI technology to offer meditation from the viewpoint of practices within Tibetan Buddhism, by the way, called Dzogchen and Mahamudra. When I read that, I was like, no, this cannot be. Those are very profound practices. At the same time, they are also very simple, but they are practices that are associated with the culture of Tibet, first of all. So cultural appropriation, thank you very much. If you do them without guidance and without preparation, according to the great teachers of Buddhism, it'll F you up. They're not to be AI generated. And first, okay, maybe you want to do those very profound practices, but let's find our breath first. Let's see, can we find our breath and let our attention rest on it for like 9 seconds? Let's see if we can do that first. So that invitation is, this practice can help you navigate your way to a God realm, a place where you can be like superhuman, always Zen, whatever the hell that people mean by that, always equanimous, always present, always blissed out, or, you know, in a state of bliss, whatever the hell that means. One should really investigate that. You can find a way to live in a kind of state of perfection as it is presented in celebrity magazines, and that our meditation practice can help you achieve some kind of transcendent wellness, which would be great, by the way, and avoid suffering. I hope I'm making myself clear, but the first invitation is, you got some big problems. Maybe this will help you fix it. Let's do some self-help. The meditation is self-help. This one is, maybe you could be a god. Maybe you could be, work on yourself and I work on myself all the time. Maybe you could be a juicing visionary, you know, Olympic athlete, perfect specimen with the support of AI generated meditations. That one makes me angry. Please don't do that one, because that's bullshit. Anyway, I'm going a little far afield here. The three steps are protection from both invitations. The three steps are three ways to RSVP. No, thank you. First one that we talked about 2 weeks ago, make offerings. If you didn't watch it or you want to rewatch it, you can go back and do so. The second step, which we talked about last week, was to request blessings. That sounds religious. I totally get it, but it isn't. Because we request blessings from our lineages. You don't request blessings from my lineage. You request blessings from your lineage. So if you're a Buddhist or a Christian, you request the blessings of those lineage holders. And I explained last week how you do that. But it doesn't have to be anything like that. You could be of the lineage of artists, teachers, activists, scientists, atheists, people who have no lineage. But we want to, in both cases, make offerings, requests, blessings. We want to remind ourselves of our connection to what is most profound and inspiring to us. You don't want to remind yourself about what is most profound and inspiring to me, but to yourself. And these two steps help do that. And then we do our practice, which we're fixing to do in a moment. And the third step today is called to dedicate the merit, which you rouse the aspiration that whatever you did here on your meditation cushion, even if it was fall asleep, that it could somehow benefit all beings. So you give it away over and over again. I hope this will help others. I hope this will help all beings. I have no idea how, but I offer my practice once again so that it could bring benefit to this world in tiny or massive ways. I do not know. So those are the three steps. Make offerings, request blessings, do your meditation, dedicate the merit. And again, in each of these steps, we're stepping outside of ourselves. Of course, we hope it will help us. And remember, may it benefit all beings, includes you. But we're looking for the wisdom, the inspiration, the compassion, the connection to our world, to something greater than our own minds that comes to us through this practice that is unbelievably profound, and even more than profound, absurdly simple. We're just sitting here doing nothing. Somehow that is the seed syllable of the invitation I think we really want, which is, how do I wake up? Okay. Thank you for listening to me, if indeed you did, and let's do our practice. Please establish your posture. Sit up straight. And as you do, find a way to connect with your own beauty. Your back is willowy and strong, even though it may also be injured or I don't know what else. But still, there's a kind of energetic or actual gracefulness and strength. The hands rest on the legs, palms down. And let the front body be soft. Relax the belly. Relax the area around your heart. Relax your throat. Let your shoulders settle back into their normal position. The mouth is closed, but the lips and teeth can be slightly parted. Breath is natural in and out through the nose. And the eyes are open, because it's much easier to be awake when your eyes are open and the gaze is soft and cast down to a comfortable spot in front. Let your attention come to rest on the breath. Now, we're not noticing the breath, we're feeling the breath. So let your attention rest on the gentle expansion of the inhale and the dissolve of the exhale. Feel the body breathing. This is a chance to just simply let your mind rest and be carried. Let your mind be as it is, No need to change thinking, stop thinking. Ixnay. Your primary attention is on your breath. Thoughts can recede into the background. But if they come back up, meaning the following, you have become fully absorbed in thought to the point where you have lost 100% of awareness of your breath. So in other words, not every thought, but only when you're lost. And then notice that. You can label that moment silently, thinking. Then just let go. Gently come back to this breath and resume feeling the body breathe. Get lost again. Repeat as many times as you like. So we'll sit together in silence until you hear the bell. Thank you so much for your practice. It's important. Thank you for practicing with me. And thank you for practicing together. I'll see you next week.